The scripture that I shared with the kids is actually from a number of the Gospels, so I'd like to go ahead and share with you our reading as we hear it one more time, this time from the Gospel of Matthew. Now when Jesus heard the news, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them, and he cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go out into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And they said, Jesus turned and said to them, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down in the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, blessed and broke the loaves, and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples then gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled. They took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, beside the women and children. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This scripture appears, this story, I should say, appears in scripture 4 times in every one of the Gospels. It actually also appears in the Gospel of Thomas, an extra canonical gospel, so we hear it in 5 different gospels. Most people think that that means it's a really important story because everybody was telling it, and probably one of the oldest stories of Jesus. So when we think about it, we know that we've heard this story a few times because it's an important one, and we've probably thought a lot, as have a lot of academics and scholars and theologians, about what this story is about and how this miracle of turning a couple of fish and loaves into enough food for 5,000 could possibly have happened. One of the interpretations that my kids really enjoy in this story actually is also shared in that fabulous movie Millions. This interpretation is this, that the crowd came to hear Jesus, and in hearing him and hearing his kingdom message, were so moved and so realized what they were called to do and who they were called to be, that when the time came to eat and they saw, depending on the gospel, either a child share his meal or the disciples share their meal, they saw an example of complete and total love and care of other, giving up all that someone had to share it, as little as would possibly be shared, but that everybody would have some. And that experience so moved them that those people who probably had a 1/2 loaf of bread hidden in a basket, or maybe a mango tucked away in a coat pocket, started to take out that food. And suddenly, we realized that there is plenty as we start giving up what we were holding on to so dearly and sharing it with others as generously as those fish and loaves were shared. And that the miracle was not a miraculous appearing of more fish and loaves, but it was the miracle of transformed lives and hearts, that people got something really important and figured out how to live it out. I love that interpretation. My kids especially love it. And I have to share with you this true story about them telling this story to some friends. When we lived over on Kendall Avenue, our next-door neighbor was preparing for her bat mitzvah and had the cantor come over and visit. And it happened that my mom and dad were visiting, too. So the cantor, the girl's mom, myself, and my mother were sitting and chatting. And in the meantime, the kids were telling us a story of this beautiful interpretation that they fell in love with from this movie Millions. And the cantor, who didn't know much about the gospel, said, "Tell me that story again." So we told her the story. And she said, "Well, that's just like Elisha." The story appears in the Hebrew Bible in 2 Kings in the form of the prophet Elisha sharing food for 200 from just 10 loaves of barley bread. And she said, "Tell me more about this." And for her, it was very interesting to hear that there were four different versions of the story in our gospel and that we work through all four versions and think about them. My mother, who tends to be an amateur feminist, said, don't tell her I said that, said, "You know, the kids' interpretation is nice, but I think that it was the women who had the food in their baskets." I said, "What do you mean, Mom?" And she's after rolling my eyes, of course. And she said, "Well, you know, no mother's going to go to 10 miles away up Galilee without bringing food for the kids. She knows they're going to complain. You don't go on a trip without packing food for the kids. The women had the food in their baskets, and the reason why everybody thought it was a miracle, because they weren't even counted. Remember, the Bible writer says 5,000 men and some women and kids." The feminist in the cantor became alive in this interpretation from my mother, and she said, "Wait a minute, those were Jewish women. That's why there were so many leftovers." And then she added, "Listen to your mother." So I promised all of them that I would share that interpretation as well. Those interpretations are really useful as we think about our call. But I think today, hearing this specifically from the Gospel of Matthew, this week, in the life of this congregation, I want to pay attention to something else Jesus is calling us, especially through the voice and his message to his disciples, into. The beginning of the story starts when Jesus heard the news. The news that Jesus heard was the death of John the Baptist, the actual horrific murder of John the Baptist. Jesus was in crisis and in mourning. The loss of his mentor, the loss of his dearest friend, the loss of the person who had started the movement that even preceded him, that had called those first disciples. Jesus was exhausted. He was exhausted emotionally. He was exhausted from the work he had been doing for days and days up this coast of the Sea of Galilee healing. And he knew that he needed to do some good self-care. He needed to go to a quiet place, a deserted place, and mourn his losses and pray. We're in a very similar place in the life of this congregation. We've experienced some significant losses. We've had to say goodbye to some very dear friends. We've had to work hard to support each other, and it's exhausting, and I know that. And beyond the life of this congregation, this hasn't always been a summer free of worry and care, as much as people would like to think that summer is those days of no worry. We know that life has gone on, and some of it has been very troubling. Jesus' words to his disciples at that moment was not, however, "Set your boundaries, take your time, get healthy, come back." It was, "There are people here in our midst. They've come here to this place to be here. You need to feed them." The disciples' option was to send them into town to find some food. Well, town is the place of, frankly, economic problems for these poor Galileans. They probably wouldn't have had enough to buy it. And when those shopkeepers saw those Galileans coming, gosh only knows what the prices would have become. That was a problem going on in the Roman Empire throughout. That's what Jesus was fighting against. He was offering an alternative kingdom. The people were starting to get it. They came to him. Why would he send them away at that moment? We face very similar challenges in the life of this congregation. We are blessed to be the place where people come to hear Jesus' words, just like those crowds on the Sea of Galilee. We're the place where children come from Newark, from Skeep, to be tutored and mentored and cared for. And we need more people to be there to greet them, not to send them to another church. When Sarah called me and said, "I know this is a tough week, but there is no place for these guests from IHN for a week. Can we house them?" And knowing we had funeral services and a wedding and a blood drive and the end of turnover sale, I said, yes. Yes, this is the place where people come. This is the place that we care for people. We will feed them. We have plenty. When you get an email from me, which you will all be getting soon, saying here are some fabulous opportunities in children and youth ministries in the life of this congregation, because more than 100 children come here every Friday night, so that they're not out in the village, but they're here sharing the good news of God's love for them, and we need you to come and welcome them. We need you to remember you have plenty. And the words that Jesus says are, you have plenty. You don't know how it's going to happen. We don't know how fishes and loaves became enough for 5,000, but it will happen. You will have the energy. You will have the capacity to love. You will have the words to speak that you don't think you have to speak right now, but you will have them because there is plenty. We can take in all of those who need to be here and more. There is plenty of room. We just need to say yes and move aside and make our circle a little wider and invite a few more people in, and make it a little wider still and invite a few more people in, and make it a little wider and invite a few more people in. Because if we draw the circle wide enough, we will be able to feed them all. Jesus tells us, God knows it, God will make it happen. Please help us to help you find the wells of energy and love that you need, because we know that we have plenty, and we know that we just can make the circle wide enough. We'll be able to build that kingdom here at Morrow and in our lives. Amen.